Welcome to the Near Post. I'm Eamon Flanagan. This week we're talking to Hamish, author of the Down Under Football Blogspot. Hamish is a big Queensland Raw fan. And we'll also chat to Cecilia, author of A Girl's Guide to the A-League. She's a huge Melbourne Victory fan, as you probably know by now. Okay, welcome to Hamish Alcorn, author of the Down Under Football Blogspot. Hamish would describe himself as relatively new to the game of football, but he's certainly a passionate fan these days. He's got some concerns, though, about the lack of free-to-air coverage for himself and junior football fans. What are your thoughts there, Hamish?
Well, I think there's a lot of people who'd like to watch the game who aren't watching it, and I'm one of them. I go to the pub and watch it, but when it comes to bringing my 12-year-old child, it's a little bit frustrating. But that's not my main concern, because I'll probably will get Fox after all. I was involved in coaching my son's team, and 1 out of 15 of the kids had access to Fox. And I think every coach in the world would say to their kids, if they want to improve their game, you know, try to watch some good football. I remember one of the parents came to me and complained that their son had told her, Hamish said that they must get Fox, and it of course wasn't true. And I think when we talk about junior development and the future of the game, which, let's face it, is being discussed a lot, that's just an enormous institutional gap in what's going on. The children can't watch.
No, and I guess if you can't watch, I mean, I think certainly the game's growth at the moment, or the last 2 or 3 years, the growth has gone ahead in leaps and bounds. But it seems to me we've come to a tipping point. How does the A-League, or, you know, how does the game grow further? The crowds are sort of stagnating, and my belief is that if it was on free-to-air, the crowds would be significantly higher. What can we do about it?
Well, Fox, of course, has come up with a lot of money, which everyone says, oh, I don't know the inner details, but it was essential, apparently.
I think so. I mean, basically, the clubs got approximately just over $1 million each out of that, and that's kind of kept the A-League clubs afloat while through these early days. And certainly, if more clubs come in, if more clubs come in the next year or two, that money will actually decrease for each club as it's spread across all teams.
I just think some arrangement has to be made. It's Fox. I can't diss Fox, and we can't alienate Fox, but I think somehow them and the television station and the FFA have to sit down and figure out how to. I mean, perhaps for a Brisbane fan, it would be great if, say, in my city, I could see the Roar's away games on television every week, for example. So maybe one game a week, and the Socceroos games, I think, too, are pretty essential for Australians to watch.
Yeah, that's almost a separate issue. The Socceroos is almost. I mean, imagine the national cricket team not being on free-to-air TV. I think they sold the rights there a little bit too soon, to be honest. But
well, imagine if the qualifier versus Uruguay wasn't on free-to-air TV, it just would not have had the same impact.
No, that doesn't bear thinking about, does it? Because that game was probably one of the top 3 or 4 sporting occasions in the country, and if people didn't get to see it, so what would be the benefits for Fox of giving some of their product to free-to-air? Why would they do it?
That's hard to say, because of course they're involved in all the different codes in a lot of different sports. So I'm not sure. It's hard to say exactly how much they would benefit from soccer growing, possibly at the expense of other codes. I think they've got their fingers in all sorts of baskets. But in terms of the growth of soccer, I think if people were able to see games, then there's a lot of reasons. And if people became interested in soccer, there's a lot of reasons for people to get Fox, apart from watching an A-League game.
And interestingly enough, at the moment, Hamish, but 1 or 2 people have been saying SBS are not doing a great coverage of the A-League, and possibly, that is where people do get their A-League news if they don't have Fox. So, where do the young guys, where does Jacob and the young guys of his team, where do they watch their soccer?
Well, Jacob's fortunate to have a fanatic of a father who actually will go out of his way to take him to pub, which will have kids. Our local pub, we can only go till 9 o'clock, so we end up leaving at half-time. So for the Raw games, we sort of go into town and we go to Pig and Whistle, actually, which we nearly got thrown out of last time because we weren't dining. We managed to stay there and watch it. But, of course, without sound and without an atmosphere, it was just we sit in the corner and watch the screen.
It's a nightmare. That is total dedication, hey? No sound, only watching it till half-time. Imagine going to a movie and only being able to watch it without sound and having to leave halfway through.
And my son is dedicated. He's quite happy to do it. And he, of course, encourages me to get Fox, which, again, I probably will.
Come on, Hamish. Hamish.
I don't want to lose sight of the fact that there are thousands and thousands of kids in this situation. And my son's team, by the way, they're pretty middle-class, affluent kids. They're not, most people would be even less likely to get Fox.
Now, just moving on to the Matildas, Hamish, I know you've been following it with interest. What are your thoughts there?
Well, at the moment, hang on, I'm in withdrawal.
You're still in withdrawal.
I mean, I think it took me a few weeks to get over the Men's World Cup, and I think it'll probably take the same to get over this one. It was just very, very high-quality football. Surprisingly so, maybe. I shouldn't have been surprised. But I was surprised.
Well, in truth, we haven't had a chance to see much women's football, so, you know, it's perhaps... and a lot of people haven't watched a lot of women's football, so, yeah, I mean, you know, be surprised. It's fine to be surprised.
Well, if we're going to see that sort of quality, it might even be an inroad for SBS to play more soccer for people to watch, because there's a lot of high-quality skills that you can see.
That's right, and certainly, you know, I mean, wouldn't it be great if we got the Asian Cup for women or the World Cup, you know, in this country? I mean, it would be tremendous.
That would be brilliant.
Now, any key points about the Matildas? Or any particular point you want to make of individual players or anything that really caught your eye?
They're all absolutely beautiful. I'm in love with them, and I want every single one of them to have my baby.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I mean, I think
it wasn't very technical, was it?
not as technical as I was expecting, but still, that's fine. It shows your passion. Now, finally, obviously the Queensland Royal Wellington. I know you're in a tipping comp. Hamish, I should point out to listeners, runs the bloggers tipping comp for the whole of Australia, and he is not doing as well as perhaps he would like. So the Roar v Wellington, Hamish, what's your tip? The Roar on a bit of a downer, the Wellington on a high. You're at home.
I have to back my team. We've watched three glorious defeats this season so far, and every one I just become more in love with the Roar, and that's just the fans' disease.
You've got it, mate. You've got it big time. If you can love the Roar when they fail to score and win each week, then imagine when they win. Imagine when they win the A-League and the Asian Champions League.
That's the joy I have to look forward to. How long I have to wait is anybody's guess.
Now, what's the score? What's the score going to be?
Wellington have been doing very, very well, of course. So yep. I think the Royal only managed to beat them 4-0.
4-0, that's not a bad prediction. And you want to tell me who's going to score? Because that's the only slight problem the Royal have.
I think Ronaldo's going to put one away this week. And I'm a big defender of Ronaldo, by the way. He's the hardest worker up front on the field. And
yeah,
if anything, it's the older strikers that probably need to be thought about it. I mean, yes, I think Ante and Simon Lynch could probably be left behind at this stage. Anybody. But Ronaldo gets a lot of flack, I think partly because he's Brazilian. I think Brazilians are expected to be geniuses. Hmm. And really, he's a very young player who hasn't reached his peak yet. And it's not quite fair for him to be expected to be our main goal scorer.
No.
If anything, Ante should be. He's the experienced ex-Socceroo, etc.
You're right, but I think his day is probably at this level. Scoring goals are declining.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much, Hamish, for joining us, and I look forward to a big win from the Roar on the weekend.
It's a pleasure, and thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Hi, we've got Cecilia, who is the author of A Girl's Guide to the A-League blog online. How are you going, Cecilia?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Oh, well, you should be. You won. You won.
I know. You scored at home.
And you scored at home. Mind you, you scored twice. Well, don't want to bring you down too quickly, but you were boring in the first half. Does it matter? But do we care?
By the time that we got that penalty, even though we hadn't quite scored yet, it kind of didn't matter anymore because we knew that Kev was going to score. So yeah.
Kev. No, it's interesting you bring up Kev. Kev isn't spoken quite so fondly in the other leagues on the ground. I don't know many people who go, Kev. Most people go, well, Muscat or whatever. But anyway, Muscat and Bremner, do you think they're the problem? Too slow, too deep. So they're not linking with the forwards. What do you think?
They're too defensive as well. Like, I think the reason why we play this stupid long ball is that we have no one in the midfield to really look after it and control all the passing. But even, I'm sure that last season we were having a passing game through Bremner mainly, but this year he's been far too inconsistent or consistently frustrating to watch anyway. I'd say that he'd probably have to go, but I think he's on 3 yellows anyway, so one more yellow and he gets suspended.
He'll be having a rest.
Look forward to another yellow for Brebs.
Good, that's the spirit. What about Leandro Love? I mean, I think I was watching the game on the weekend and he seems to play in a front three in this, and I think that's probably the key difference. He's not playing deep enough, or he's not linking with Bremner and Muscat. So I mean, last year you had Fred linking at pace and Love doesn't seem to be doing that. Do you think that's a problem, the way that, you know, Love's playing too far forward? Or
I don't think it's a problem. I think he's finally found his place in the team. Like the first few weeks, he was a bit lost on the field, and now that he's actually figured out how he connects with Archie, for example, that's a step in the right direction. But I don't think he's the kind of physical player who can play in the midfield and hold his own ground.
So are you happy with Leandro Love?
I've turned a little bit, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, okay, so perhaps wrote him off a little bit too soon.
Yeah, perhaps.
So Ernie said that Fred took 7 or 8 games to get going, and maybe Mr. Love will do the same. Now, what about the weekend? Sydney Melbourne, can you handle the Juninho factor? The Juninho Brosk factor. Can Melbourne stop those guys?
I think that the mission for Pantelides, Brebs and Musket will be to chop Juninho down.
We can't afford that in this league. We need to protect these players.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's how they go out on the field. You know, it's not what I want to see, but if I see it, it won't surprise me.
No, that would be very disappointing if we lose Juninho for another few weeks. And on top of that, I mean, people have been criticising the A-League a little bit. Melbourne particularly, been a little bit boring. But I thought Adelaide was superb. I noticed you mentioned them on your blog.
They were great. It was like the match that we absolutely needed for the A-League.
Yeah.
I'm finding the A-League this year is full of hackers.
That's just because you've been watching Melbourne too much.
Come on, Teato.
Danny. No, Danny's doing okay, I reckon. He's. I think there's some good... I think Sydney are good to watch with Juninho and, well, Brosk a little bit. And Adelaide are good to watch. The Central Coast are good in their own way. You know, there's 3 decent teams. Melbourne always good to watch, particularly away from home.
Yeah, but Adelaide, I thought, were brilliant on the weekend.
They were.
Tay and Burns really hooked up, and they actually played a passing game. They didn't rely on hard tackles and stupid long balls. So
Adelaide,
it was a really nice match.
I think Adelaide have been the best team, football-wise, over the 3 seasons. Like, they haven't necessarily got the results, but the best team to watch. Would you agree with that, or...? I don't think you would you?
I don't think I would. No, I don't. They do have, let's say, the best connection in the team, within the team at the moment.
Did you see the bit where Nathan Burns went down the line and he sort of did a flick with the inside of his heel past Dean Heffernan?
Yes, that was lovely.
It was just joyous, wasn't it, to see a young Aussie?
I started laughing.
What about your referees? I'm not happy with the referees this weekend. The guy, Craig Zetter in Sydney, was, I thought, pretty poor. I mean, I don't think he protected Juninho at all. And I noticed you weren't happy.
Yeah, a joke. Sorry, yeah. Like, I agree with the whole Juninho was traded, because he was chopped down about 6 or 7 times, and it was only the 8th when finally there was a foul called against.
Yeah.
Chopped him at that instance. It was a joke.
And if we are criticising the league from time to time, I think those are the, you know, we need to protect the players that can actually play a little bit of football.
But it's not just protecting the players. We're at a point now where I think this season is just full of hackers. They just go down to chop players, and the referees aren't doing anything about it. So it just keeps getting worse.
Although when Matthew Breeze pulled up that foul against Nathan Burns in the Adelaide game, I mean, how... You know, Jite was just ahead of him. The ref was standing there. He saw the foul, but why didn't that play go on?
Yeah, it was just a case of, I think, him blowing the whistle too soon. I think he saw the foul and kind of went, I have to stop this, and did not think about an advantage.
Okay, I know you're a Victory fan, but I have to ask you, anybody on your swoon list from Sydney FC?
No.
What do you mean, no? Maybe, you know, an ageing Tony Popovich, perhaps? Or,
no.
No? A little bit of Brazil.
If anyone.
Mr. Patrick? Yeah, go on.
If I say who it is, I think all the Melbourne Victory fans would, you know, find me and
No, I think they'd probably.
Bolton.
Clint Bolton. Yeah.
Just because he's a goalkeeper.
Oh, of course. Goalkeeper talk. You can't resist it, can you?
I can't, I'm shocking.
What about Mr. Beltrami? How did you feel for him on the weekend, coming back into goal?
He's my favourite. Probably one of my...
It's the cuddly bits, is it?
Favourite goalkeeper.
Is it the cuddly bits on Mr. Beltrami that you like?
I think he's a good keeper. He's an excellent connection with his defence, particularly when Costanzo's back in defence.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why Vidmar was playing him in midfield, but anyway.
No. I'm not convinced about Aurelio Vidmar as a coach yet, but I guess he's only been doing it for a short time.
Yeah, time will tell. Just needs some time to get on his own 2 feet.
Yeah.
And he'll be fine.
Okay, what's your prediction for the big game?
Big game? Of course, Melbourne are going to win.
Well, we know Melbourne are going to win, but... Score. I mean, I know you're not
going... I'm going to go 2-1.
2-1 to victory.
Sydney will get a goal. I think Juninho will be magical again. And then we'll deal with it and we'll win.
Okay, I think you're going down. You heard it here first. All right. Good stuff. All right, thank you very much, Cecilia, and I'll catch up with you again, no doubt, when Melbourne have 6 more points.
All right, see you.
And that concludes the Near Post for this week. Hope you have a good week. And remember, if you're going to the Near Post, get there first.